Hello and welcome to Stock Club with me, Ed.
And me, Jack.
And this week we entitled this episode Fun with Funds because, something that I've been sort of a bit wary of, a bit more sort of trying to promote myself as more of a stock share trader than a fund trader. But recently, obviously, with a bit of uncertainty, that awful word, and also just a bit of market stagnancy, if that's a word. I thought funds look a bit more of a growth option at the moment. So I've been looking into them, and of course Jack has been looking in some as well. And
I was going to say, surely some of it is to do with the fact that I've been banging on about them for the past. Funds was the first thing I invested in. That if I look at my investment journey, I remember I set up a direct debit, £25 a month, into a single fund, and I was like, I'm just gonna that's like the first step. And obviously, you know, over time things change, our portfolios have changed, we've got more heavily involved in it, and now we're doing a podcast, which is unbelievable. But it's quite funny that I'm almost coming full circle.
Also, like, a lot more of you from around the world are tuning in now, and funds are probably a bit more accessible for a lot of our listeners more than maybe stocks, because it might be from outside countries and stuff, and there's a bit of paperwork to go over and stuff, but the funds are a lot easier to deal in if you're dealing from overseas. And on that note, we've now got listeners from all six inhabited continents, which it's pretty amazing considering we're just two blokes who don't really know what we're talking about, but we're just sharing this journey with you all. So thank you very much for listening.
Yeah, it's incredible. So onwards and upwards.
And so then on to fun with funds. I have been looking more into funds as a bit of diversity to my portfolio, because a bit of stagnancy in growth in terms of like all the stocks I've got. I mean, we've seen the massive climbs up from the massive dip that happened due to coronavirus, but now still a bit of uncertainty. People don't really know what's happening. So stock prices have basically just hit a bit of a wall, really, and a lot of stuff's just totally flatlined. So in order to sort of stimulate a bit of growth, a bit of a sort of impatientness for myself, I thought I'd have a look at a few funds, and there are some awesome ones out there run by very clever people for a very long time, and they have shown ridiculous numbers over the past few years and longer, you know. So yeah, I mean, so
I think Jack, I think go on.
Well, so what type of funds do you sort of look at mainly?
So I think when it comes to what, okay, I think before that, it makes sense to call out that, like, the reason why you would want a fund in your portfolio is to mitigate like your overall risk. Like, the stock market goes up and down every day, and so do funds. They usually change prices every day, but because your money is so spread over so many different companies, you're guarded by both the fund manager doing all the work and doing investing in what they know, and then also the fact that, you know, you're not exposed just to a couple of stocks that could, you know, bottom out anytime. So I look for funds on that basis as like a safe haven for a proportion of my portfolio that will tick along nicely and is invested in the right areas that I, if I had access to unlimited kind of stock picks, I would put my money in. So I think off the back of coronavirus and the UK economy and Brexit, a fund area that I was looking in was kind of stable UK companies. Another area, let's say, was the emerging markets, because that was something that saw a lot of growth over the past calendar year. And then probably another area I'd look at is kind of a type of fund. So you could get, I don't know, responsible renewable energy fund, or you could get a fund that only deals in oil, let's say. So there's a few different sectors that I'm looking at, kind of short and long term, and I think I'll be looking at funds that kind of marry up to those kind of sectors. I don't know about how you know the funds that you identify, Ed, or the type of kind of investing that you do in funds.
It's similar. I actually sort of first of all looked at, I put a load of ones that I've been researching into a watch list, and just left it for a month and came back to it and saw which ones were doing better, because I was kind of, I had a couple of stocks that were, I felt had sort of reached the end of their growth. They were short-term ones anyway. And so I thought, well, here you go, let's look for a bit more short-term money. So I put those funds into a watch list, and it was interesting, actually. The ones I thought would do better didn't quite do as well as I thought they did, and it was interesting which ones did do very well, and ones that I hadn't actually paid that much attention to just sort of put in there almost as a whim. And
wouldn't have had to been one of my picks, was it?
No. Well, one of them was similar to the one you wanted, not the exact same fund. But,
we'll admit, sorry. I interrupted then, but I just wanted to call that out.
Yeah, I did see sort of a couple of key words that Jack had said before. Things like special situations. I looked at a few emerging markets and stuff, and some more sort of more run-of-the-mill ones, more recognisable household name ones, some FTSE 100 trackers, etc., etc. So, but yeah, I put them all into the fund list and just picked out ones that I ended up choosing three, which I will tell you at the end when we do our big three to buy. I think that those three will be my big three to buy. And yeah, they put decent amounts in. There's no commission charges when you buy a fund, which is quite key to point out, like there is on a stock. But there is a maintaining fee, which some will come from the fund itself, and others will come from your trading platform, your broker, that's the word.
You're moving on to the pros and cons, which was going to be my next suggestion.
Well, not really. I was just sort of saying just like what there is going into it, which I thought was like, because that's just another aspect, but it's not really the pros and cons, it's kind of just outlining them. But I think the pros and cons comes from different formats, which we'll go into in a bit. But I say the type of funds I'm looking at are ones that primarily are going to try and get a bit of short-term growth, because I don't plan on leaving much money in there for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one, isn't it? Like, I think it's like any stock. Are you in it for the long haul or the short haul? I mean, I look at some of my funds, an example being the emerging markets. That, to me, is almost a medium term. I think we're going to see some good growth probably over the next 5 years. But do I think that's something that will just grow and grow forever? Probably not. Things like special situations, that is a fund that literally its mantra is to ride out recessions, ride out sticky patches, and to consistently return like a good level of income or growth, you know, whatever you want to call it, over a long period of time. And, you know, I've seen the word safe harbor for your money thrown around. So I think when you're looking at funds, it's also like, what's your strategy? Because like you are, well, I think we're both quite growth orientated investors. So I wouldn't look at a fund that has only gone up 5% over 20 years, even if I like some of the companies, because I'd be thinking, well, why hasn't it, you know, where's the growth? But equally, you wouldn't want to touch a fund like there was a Pictet Clean Energy. That was one that we both dabbled in last year. We saw really good growth, and I think we sold at good times because that just rocketed, that fell away, you know, in the new year. So I think the types of funds crosses over a lot with the types of investing you do as well. I think it's just similar to the way you'd buy a stock, even though it's a different kind of mechanism.
Yeah, so it ought to be recognisable to you. And if you're totally going into it blind, then I feel that's a bit risky and not very wise. So as you say, just picking out maybe companies that you can't really afford to buy some shares in, possibly, like, you know, some high-end share prices that you might only get one or two of if you were to buy as a single stock, or as a stock on your own. Maybe look at ones that are in sectors you like and you know you sort of trusted and stuff like that. Really, I think that's a good tip. Just on the types of funds, there's two different types of funds. There is the income funds, which any dividend that come in from the stocks within the fund, they come straight to you as cash. So that might be good for us, like an older investor who wants a bit of a return from their investment, so say like a pension type thing. Yeah. And there's also the accumulation funds, which send the dividends back in and the dividend reinvestment. So both a fund will offer both models usually, unless it's a specific one such as a high income one, which is purely income, not a reinvestment. And there's also some that are just purely accumulation, so there'll be like a compounding fund. But 99% of funds will offer both an income and the accumulation variant on their fund.
I must apologise. I'm walking. I've gone for an outside walk. It's nice weather. Why not do an alfresco pod? Exactly.
But you seem to have gone through the nearest branch of Sydenham's or something. Chainsaws in the background.
Home base. No, I think and as well, just to add before we maybe get onto the pros and cons, I think the types of fund, just to cover the index tracker funds as well. That's something that I think there was a lot of noise around last year, towards the back end of last year, because of the growth seen in the US and people's S&P 500 tracker. And a tracker fund is essentially a fund that follows X amount of companies in a market, and it will just track it. So you could have one for the FTSE 100. Now, it's never going to be defined because the FTSE 100 promotes and almost relegates companies. But over time, if the FTSE 100 goes up, your fund will go up because it's dipping its fingers into all of the pies in that FTSE 100. So it's quite a safe fund. But also, I don't think you'd see the growth. But you say that with the S&P 500, over the past 2 years.
Long term, it'd be a safe bet for your money because largely you'd expect inflation to be your friend in that case, because theoretically the top 100 companies are always the top 100 companies. They're not going to get outdone, but equally their value will go up based on inflation if nothing else. So it's a good long term one, certainly the FTSE 100 tracker, etc.
I will have to apologise. I'm going back through Homebase in a second because I'm doing a loop. So yeah, if you take the pros, I'll take the cons, and that'll give me enough time. That'll give me enough time not to talk while they're at the leaflet.
I wish I could mute you whilst we're doing this.
the listen. It's alfresco summer. The listeners will love it.
Okay, so the pros of a fund, basically, that they're good if you don't want to worry about your money. Like if you're worried about the stocks and worried you don't have time to look at them all the time, they're good for that because you can just put your money in them and trust the fund manager to sort that out for you. You'd like to think that he'd sell up if a big dip's coming, but sometimes everyone's caught short. But I mean, they're run by extremely clever people. And certainly on my brokering app, it gives you a full profile of the fund manager, gives you a full history of what they've achieved in the past with this fund, and gives you a really good background information on the fund manager. So I said that they're very clever people and know what they're doing. So if you're worried about your money long term and just want to put it in something and forget about it, funds are good for that. Also, funds, they are cheap to buy, like particularly if you're putting in small amounts. So for instance, if you're like Jack did, putting 25 quid into a direct debit into a fund every month, it's not going to be an 11 quid charge every time you stick it in like you would if you're buying shares for that amount. So it's good for that. So if you're looking to put small amounts into the market, that's very good. Also, it means you can have exposure to large companies without putting in large money as well, which is quite good. Funds are good for long term, maybe not so savvy investors. Like if you're a bit worried about what you're up to, I think it's brilliant.
Nice. I think one other benefit for me is like with my, let's say I put £1,000 in, ordinarily that would buy me, and I wanted to invest in big companies like Legal & General, DSK, I don't know, companies like that with large share prices. I would have very little holdings, but and I'd only be able to invest in, let's say, 3 or 4 FTSE 100s. Whereas with a fund, I could put that £1,000 in, and it will give me exposure to like however many companies that are in there. So let's say the fund has 40 companies all actively invested. I have exposure to all of them. So it kind of mitigates the risk of the way like your portfolio being weighed down by something that does badly. But coming onto the kind of the cons, you don't get the amount of exposure to the companies that you might have actively invested, if that makes sense. So, you know, a fund, special situations, I think it's 5% of the fund is invested in legal in general. So if I put a fund, 5% of my portfolio in theory is in legal in general. Now, if I was to buy £500 worth of my 1,000, that's 50%. And if legal in general mooned overnight, then I've got more exposure to the growth. So you have to kind of think about it like that as well. So it's kind of a converse. Another con would probably be the charges. And I think that's something that catches people out. So with the benefits, obviously, that Ed said around buying, it doesn't cost you to buy, but the ongoing charges are a lot higher than stocks. So typically, you'd be looking at about 1.2 to 1.5% per annum, I think, for kind of a holding charge in a sense, like management fees. And the thing about Hargreaves Lansdown is it does quite a good little illustrative example of £5,000 invested with the charges, with 5% growth, which is what the fund, let's say, aims for year on year. You end up with £6,300 in your pocket, but you've paid £400 for the joy. So again, there is a bigger charge, with withholding. And I think probably it's not really a con, but just because you're giving your money to a very smart man, a very big company who knows far more about investments than we do, nothing is certain. So you might go, right, this fund has gone up 20% year on year for the past 40 years. It will go up that again. You put your money in and it just tanks. You just don't know. So there's no, it's kind of obvious, but there's no certainty, even though it's kind of a safer model for investment. There's no certainty. And I think people can lose sight of that because they go, oh, well, the fund manager will be able to outplay the market. Whereas sometimes, like we saw with coronavirus, you know, the bit of money I had in my special situations fund, that tanked quite rapidly. Has ended up going back up and way beyond where I was, which is fantastic, but you have to kind of accept the dips as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, as with all investing, there is risks involved, and it's just about accepting risk that you're happy with. I mean, most funds have a risk score attached to them as well. So if you want to be a bit more riskier and expose yourself to potentially bigger highs as well as bigger lows, then you go for a higher risk score. Or there's the real safe ones, for instance, like government bonds, which are pretty much like a savings bond, effectively. They're guaranteed income.
I think that's a really good, point, actually, like the risk score. Is something again that I looked at the last time I sort of did a bit of a scan over funds, that kind of swayed my decision over a couple of things. So I was looking at a few funds in a certain sector, saw the risks attached. One was safer, but it was a risky, let's say, risky sector. So I was like, well, they might perform better than the others.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'd say it's up to you guys to do your own research as well. You know, I mean, this pod's all about just talking and about our own experiences and things as well. But I mean, we're learning our way through. I mean, we've been doing this a couple of years now, properly without, rather than just playing at it. And we're always learning. I mean, everyone's always learning. Obviously you could be 70 years in the market and not know half the things you meant to know. Yeah. But, the way we're introducing more funds into our portfolio basically just gives a little bit of a safety blanket as such, a bit of a comfort blanket, almost shore up some of your money rather than leaving it all up to pure chance.
Exactly. I think actually, before we get on to one last thing, you know, before we get on to our picks for funds, one thing that's really surprised me is that today, my most profitable investment is my first fund, is the Special Situations Fidelity Fund. And I think, you know, when I started getting more exposure to equity, you know, shares and whatever, and thinking I could get more growth out of them. Actually, it is worth noting that you can give your money to people who know a lot more about it and you can still do really well. So yeah, I think that's one just to call out. Yeah, go on.
Okay, so I've been basically, as I said, picked out three funds that I'd put into a watch list and picked out the three best performing ones. And the first one I picked out, the best performing one by far, was Fundsmith Equity. This is a fund that's been going for years, but I mean, over the last 5 years, for instance, it's produced some ridiculous numbers. For instance, between June 2016 to June 2017, it did 39%, which is ridiculous in a year, 39%, imagine that. And then over the last 5 years, the bottom year it's had is, the worst year it's had is 9.23% growth, which is, it's just bonkers. That's the worst performing year. And even in the last year with coronavirus, it's since June 2020, to June 2021, it's done just shy of 21%, which is just
crazy,
it's
just isn't it?
It's bonkers. It's bonkers. So it's run by, a bloke called, his name is Terry Smith, I believe. Terry Smith. He has been working in banking since like the 70s, you know, so this guy knows what he's doing. And it holds sort of blue chip stocks.
It's kind of top three holdings, because you mentioned it a lot to me, but I don't actually know what it's.
Okay, so in the top 10, for instance, they hold things like Nike, PepsiCo, Facebook, Estee Lauder, PayPal, Reckitt Benister. It's they're big companies, you know, not as if it's just picking out bloody random penny stocks and waiting for you to move. Yeah. You know, it's household names, so it's an interesting stock for that, if I'm for that, because I say it's just so consistently outperforming the market and produces ridiculous numbers. And I literally bought it like 4 days ago, and already it's up like 3%. It's just ridiculous. Fundsmith Equity.
For our listeners, if you go onto a graph for the last 5 years, it's like a right angle. So that's good.
Yeah, in the last 5 years, it's done 100% growth. So if you put in £100 5 years ago, you now have £200, which is ridiculous. You know, so if you like you put in,
you never get that. You'd never get that in a bank.
You never go to the bank. You wouldn't get that in a buy to let. You wouldn't get that in anything. You know, it's 20% of it the year on year. It's just ridiculous. Ooh, where are you now?
It's a train. There's a bridge.
For God's sake.
Okay, anyway, next pick.
I picked out a European special situations one. So you can get some special situations that cover worldwide stocks. I went for a European one. Just it was stocks I better knew. There's a lot of German stuff in there. There's a lot of French stuff. There's a lot of sort of Swiss and Dutch stuff as well, but there's also a bit of more household names. Are you actually in Waterloo? Right, then another one I wanted to pick out was Artemis UK smaller companies. Basically, because we all agree that the UK market is undervalued. However, the FTSE 100 are getting towards the point where they're being a bit more valued, like accurately valued, than being undervalued. So the growth's going to come from the smaller companies. So this company picks out, say, they're household names, some of them. But they are towards the bottom end of the FTSE index. So there's companies in there like Money Supermarket and stuff like that. So they're companies you've heard of, but they're a lot smaller, and they don't hold too bigger chunks in these companies either to mitigate risk. So yes, there might not be some absolute moon growth in it, because if one particular stock goes through the roof, it's not going to be as heavily exposed to that. However, as a sector, it's believed that, I believe, and this fund believes, that as a whole, those companies are going to rise in value. So for me, that's just why I've gone for that one. And so they're all UK companies. There was a couple of US and Canada companies that are registered on the FTSE 100 in there, or the FTSE index in there, sorry. But they are British companies, which I believe are undervalued.
Nice. And to be honest, I'd agree with picks. I think, the right markets, the right company, the right companies within the funds, the right kind of, I know, past performance isn't a guide for future returns, but it's nice to see a graph's gone up rather than down for the past 10 years. So yeah, I think I'd back all of those picks. So yeah, nice. Move on to mine. So yeah, I'm just going to go with all three that Ed did. No, I'm not. So my first one is the Fidelity Special Situations. And that'd be for accumulation, because you do get the option for income. But basically, the reason I like that is because it's got really, really broad kind of exposure to the UK market, and it's there to kind of ride out the bad times, in a sense. So you look at the companies, you've got Legal & General, Aviva, Shell, Imperial Brands, Serco, and then you've got some bonds in there as well. And they look towards industrial support services, things that aren't going to go away, high dividend paying companies as well to get a good income. So yeah, that would be one. And like I said, that's actually, I think to date, where am I with that? 14% up overall, kind of drip fed in over the past kind of, I don't know, year and a half. So I'm pretty pleased with that. That's doing really well for me. So that'd be my first one. My second one would be any trusted emerging markets fund, but I personally like the look of the JP Morgan emerging markets fund. Emerging markets took a bit of a dip around Christmas from their highs in December. Classic, I went in at the top. But I've seen a really steady kind of rise back up. And if you look at one of the funds that, again, goes for blue chip big companies, but in that sector, so Samsung, one semiconductor manufacturing company is huge, Alibaba, etc. I think you get good exposure to those markets in the knowledge that you're not putting them in a bust overnight. So that would be one for me. And I think, like I said, I think 5 years would be a good time frame for that. Beyond that, I don't know how certain you can be with things if you're own country or whatever. But yeah, I think for me, that's a good one. And then the last one would be a clean energy fund. That was something that I got involved in. When was that, Ed? Last year? Was it when Richard spotted that?
It was a good year ago, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. It was a while ago. I think there is like a really good opportunity to... I think everyone kind of accepts there's a really good opportunity for renewable energy to explode over the next 5 to 10 years. It will be the future. And I think if you pick a fund that, again, looks at high quality companies with good strategies and kind of a good foothold in their space. So Green Coat Wind Energy, that's one that I look for in some of these funds. If they're investing in that from a UK perspective, I think that's a good sign. That would be something that I'd look to put my money in, because I want exposure to that, because I know it's the future. But it doesn't have the track record for me. So something like oil, you look at BP and Shell, they're never going to go anywhere, and they haven't over the last like 20, 30 years. Renewables is very new, so I wouldn't want to go pouring my money in without actually understanding it. So yeah, they would be my three picks, I think.
Cool, yeah, I think large agree with you. I mean,
feel free to disagree with me as per, but
I'm a bit more riskier of the clean energy things, because I think there's a lot of companies in there that are, there's obviously a lot of startups and stuff in there, and like even credible startups that can just fall by the wayside because certain tariffs or some grant money might just disappear anytime. But I mean, overall, that fund you're talking about, the PicTech Clean Energy one, for instance, that's done quite well over the last year, hasn't it? It's done well. It's slowed up recently, maybe as inflation comes in, and if tariffs haven't risen, obviously their income's going to be hit relative to that. But yeah, I mean, I say I agree with you. I think there's some good funds in there.
Cool. Well, yeah, I mean, I think my advice for people going forwards would be to do what you did, get a little kind of watch list, however you want to set that up. But that's a really good way of kind of looking at some stuff, tracking performance over like a month, 2 months, giving yourself a bit of time to like look into exactly what you want to put your money into.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think as well, if there's something that catches your eye, given the fact that it doesn't charge to take in and out, you can take a punt. That was something I did with Pictet last year. You know, a friend recommended that and I thought, you know what, why not? And yeah, it ended up growing like 40% in like 4 months, which is ridiculous. So yeah, you're probably all right to just take a punt and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, as you say, it's not going to cost you. So if it where particularly does it in like daily increments as well. So like the price will change once a day on it. You can easily make a decision whether you want to be in or out. It's not going to be affected by commissions or stuff like that. You can see the price, see what it's going to be, buy or sell. That's a bit of a bonus actually on another pro for funds. Cool. Right, well, right. Nice to chat to you again. I'm sorry it's been a while since we did a pod, but we've been freakishly busy, both of us. Yeah. As you can see.
But Jack's, it's gone.
Well, so Jack's not even taken time out from wandering around London to talk to us. But
I'm still working from home, so I had a nice little walk through Hertfordshire. First time I've left the makeshift office today, I've been that busy, so you watch yourself.
It's coming from us.
But yeah, look, yeah, great to speak to you. Like, we love doing these pods. It's just enjoyable. It's just nice to, you know, chat about these things because, like I said before, no one's got the answers. It's all about listening and learning and, you know, picking up tips and understanding stuff a little bit better. And that's what we hope we give you. So hopefully in a few years' time, we look back and go, Christ, what are we talking about? Because we know a lot more now. But yeah, you know, if anyone's got any suggestions, recommendations for what topics they want to know, what we want to talk about, whether we want us to shut up, Just fire them off at us, because we'd love to hear from you, given that, yes, as Ed said, we expand the world now.
Yeah, so follow us on Instagram for the best way to get any followers. So, but we've got lots of people listening to us, but no one listens. Get on that. At Stock Club Pod, it's called. Go on there, DM us, you can shout abuse, you can give us some pointers. Don't care.
No.
I just want a bit of abuse.
Yeah. All right. Well, then. Have a good weekend, and yeah, we will be back sooner than later with another episode. We've got a few ideas of topics, so yeah. You won't be too long until you hear from us again.
Perfect.
See you soon. Cheers, guys. Bye. Cheers, Ed. Bye.